listening to Bits of Me, the podcast about women's bodies, all the things we should know about them, and all the stories behind them. This week, I talk to Claire Hunt, who runs Homeless Period Ireland. We talk about period management in relation to poverty, what period equity really means, and Claire's hopes for change in relation to everything from period product access to sex and menstrual education. As always, I want to thank all those of you who are supporting Bits of Me in different ways, from sharing episodes to subscribing and reviewing, and especially all the patrons, without whom this season wouldn't have happened. If you're not yet a patron and you'd like to become one, go to patreon.com/bitsofme. Do you remember getting your first period and what that was like?
I vaguely do. I actually was speaking to somebody about this the other day because what alarmed me most about remembering it was that it was 35 years ago. actually, nearly 36 years ago, actually. Oh, no, it is 36 years ago. Yeah, I was 10. So I was very, very young. But my mother had also got her period at 11. And I think her mother also and her sisters. So, yeah, I think it was a bit slightly unexpected. But at the same time, I don't remember being any way frightened by it. I just remember my mum being really kind and it being okay and getting a massive big like stay free pad or something at the time. But yeah, and then it kind of, because obviously I was so young, it wasn't like then it wasn't regular when I was 10. So I think I might have got like one or two and then started up again when I was about 11. But yeah. All very... yeah, nothing traumatizing. It was all very straightforward and nice. And
yeah. Do you remember what the sex education was like at the time? Was that something that you were taught about at all?
No, non-existent pretty much. I remember I went to an all-girls convent school and I remember once we got a mail from some organisation coming in and teaching us about tampons, which gave us all a bit of a laugh. But yeah, no, actually... genuinely don't remember really getting any certainly any period education I would have got from my mum, but I have no recollection of getting any in school. That's not to say maybe it did happen, it's a long time ago, but absolutely no. I remember, like, yeah, as I said, that man coming in and giving a talk, but nothing else really.
And what was it like, if you think back to that time and your teens with your peers?
Yeah.
Was it something you talked about? Was it like something that, like, a thing that had to be managed, or what was it like?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, I think there's always an air of excitement, you know, who gets it first, who's going to get it, you know, what age you're going to get it at. And at the time, I think, you know, Judy Blume books were very popular, you know, so there was the obvious one, Forever, which we all used to hide from our parents. But I think I remember reading Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. And yeah, so I think there was kind of that kind of, you know, who's going to get it. But I think once you do, you realise it's not such a big deal and everyone around you gets them. But I think, you know, it's that kind of, isn't it? You know, and I'm kind of looking at my daughter now who's going to be 11 soon. And I'm kind of looking at her like it will be that kind of conversation at that kind of age, you know, who's going to be first and, you know, when will I get it? How old will I be? And it's kind of, it's opening up that next stage, isn't it?
Yeah. So do you want to tell me how you ended up getting involved with Homeless Period Ireland?
Yes, so I watched a film called I, Daniel Blake, and I don't know if you've seen it, it's a Ken Loach movie. Yeah, and it's pretty sad really, and there was a scene in it where the main character gets caught shoplifting, and then when the story detective opened up her bag, inside was, you know, period products, tampons, pads, whatever, and it was just something I'd never ever thought about before. Yeah, normally I watch a movie and forget about it, or some part of it might stay with you. But I went on a bit of a search to see, you know, did this happen? What did women do when they couldn't afford any products? And found out, they sadly use, you know, fabric, kitchen tissue, toilet paper. So at the time, another woman had set up a small organisation called Homeless Period Dublin. So I started volunteer driving. And I think sometimes you can kind of, you know, start volunteering and not actually getting to speak to people. But when you start to actually speak to people who are experiencing period poverty, I think you can either decide to, you know, forget about it and pretend it doesn't exist. But I just couldn't leave it. So at the time, the girl who'd set up Homeless Period Dublin, her circumstances were changing, so I ended up taking it over. And I suppose we kind of tend to, in this country, sort of focus on Dublin and issues that are happening in Dublin. And I guess as I spoke to more and more women in direct provision, you know, there's direct provision centres all over Ireland in every county. So I decided then to change the name from Homeless Period Dublin to Homeless Period Ireland, because it's not, you know, unfortunately poverty affects everyone, right, in every county. So, and just grew it from there, and yeah, just kind of really pushed it on social media, and it's been a lot of hard work to get it to where it is now, but sadly the reason for that is because of the need.
And what does that need look like? Is it possible for you to kind of explain a little bit in terms of how many people are struggling to afford period products, what their needs are?
It's very hard to kind of quantify, and I get really, really frustrated, you know. Surveys are put out there because you can't really quantify this issue. It just happens. I mean, there's obvious categories, you know, homeless women, women in direct provision, women who may be in coercive relationships, you know, young girls who just aren't having these conversations at home, you know, that kind of sort of lack of education category. But there's also, you know, and this is what I'm most mindful of, and you know, there's also that man or woman who is doing the supermarket shop, and they may have X amount of money to spend, and often, you know, things that you need for yourself go on the back burner as opposed to the food for your family. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of, we all live in our bubbles and we don't think about people who are experiencing poverty. And, you know, what frustrates me about the name period poverty is that, you know, it can be quite trendy to talk about it. That really, really annoys me. You know, it can be seen as a trendy issue, or I think what people are calling it now, isn't it? Fashion feminism, you know. But really, period poverty is a facet of poverty. You know, it's not an excuse to say periods in a public space, or, you know, to say vagina out loud. This is a really, really sad issue. That's part of poverty. And I think that's the part that we all have to focus on around it.
Yeah.
People use this issue. It's trendy. It's cool. And it's, when you're talking about the poverty side of it, it's really not trendy. It's really not cool. You know, come out with me in my car. It ain't cool. It's really sad. It's really, really sad. And this is what really annoys me. I shouldn't be doing this 4 or 5 years later. It's not something that should be brought up on, you know, when you're, when it's local elections or Women's Day, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it is part of the bigger issue of poverty. And that is, you know, there's people in this country, like children who aren't getting breakfast in the morning, you know, have to go to, a lot of places were closed over lockdown, but you know, we fuel poverty, we food poverty, all these things, and that's sadly what it is. It's just grim. But sure, I was going into Hall Street now with maternity pads. You know, people forget all those sides of it, you know.
So when people talk about period equity, if somebody was asking you, what does that even mean? How would you explain it?
I always think of it in terms of dignity. You know, I think everyone is entitled to experience dignity when they have their period. I mean, it just, I mean, I get letters sometimes, not letters, but, you know, we don't get letters in these days, but messages and emails, you know, I was going to say, when did I last get a letter? But, you know, you get messages from people saying, listen, thanks a million. I got products via, you know, whatever organisation, and I'm really grateful because up until then I'd been using, you know, I'd cut up fabric, which had been cutting the inside of my thighs. You know, so I think for me, when period equity is spoken about, I personally see it as period dignity.
And what are the main obstacles to period equity in Ireland at the moment, would you say?
Lack of education, money, and just a general lack of period education. I think are the main obstacles.
And what would be the consequence of somebody not having period dignity, if you want to use that phrase? Like, in what ways do people suffer, and what happens?
Well, I think, you know, sadly, there are people that just manage it every month and do what they have to do, whether it's, you know, using kitchen tissue or using, as I said before, fabric. People manage. Otherwise, it could be, you know, you could have young girls who would normally, you know, take part in PE or sport, which is hugely important, may just not do that, or may miss school, or may not go to college, or may not go to work. And I know that all sounds very, very dramatic, but we've all leaked, right? So, you know, you don't want to be seen to have stained clothes. So I guess a lot of people just hide from it, sadly.
And would you say that it does affect a lot of young girls? I think it's easy for people to think that this is something, you know, you categorise the kind of, direct provision is a very obvious situation.
Very obvious, just as I said to you, like, it's that kind of, you know, it's the hidden side of it, I think. That's the bit that I kind of, you know, focus on. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I work in community football myself, and I was speaking to somebody recently enough who's involved in a girls' football club. And you kind of find around puberty age that girls will drop out of football. And I mean, I'm not putting that all down to periods. Like, a lot of that can be to do with body changes and just not wanting to play football anymore.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
You know, getting involved in other stuff. But that's a whole other podcast. But But I think, you know, yes, that absolutely can be a lot of the reason why that people just mightn't feel that they have access to products.
Mm. Do you want to tell me about the initiative with Lidl?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I'm thrilled with it. I partnered with Lidl. Sorry, I keep calling them Lidl. Lidl.
Oh, so do I.
So, I mean, it's hugely, I think it's hugely significant. It's a terrific way to combat period poverty. So basically what it means is they have an app, Lidl Plus app, and someone can sign up on it, and through that then they can get a voucher for products. So it just means complete dignity, you know, as you get any of these vouchers, you scan them at the till, no big deal. So that, I think that's absolutely super. And as I said to you earlier, that's kind of, you know, that's the woman or the man I see in the family, you know, that mightn't have just that extra bit of money to buy products for his daughter, his wife, his girlfriend, or the mother for her, you know, for herself or whoever. So I just think it's absolutely brilliant. But what also is really, really good about it, we also partnered with the Simon Communities nationwide. Which I think is just really, really brilliant, because it just means, you know, that anyone who doesn't have access through a phone, we now have a way of distributing products nationwide. And also then on top of that as well, Homeless Period Ireland will get a donation too, which I can distribute as needed. So it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. The response has just been absolutely phenomenal, and it's great.
I know that we've talked previously about how to do kind of period activism in the way that you do, while also being conscious of the environmental impact of period products. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it makes me look like a complete hypocrite, because I just firmly believe whoever needs products should, you know, whatever's available without judging whoever uses what. But if that makes sense, because I just feel, you know, I don't want to be looking like I'm going, you know, end period plastic, but at the same time, I'm giving people products that have plastic in them. But at the same time, Homeless Period Ireland is a completely volunteer run initiative. I take absolutely no funding, so all my products are what's donated to me. But I strongly feel that, you know, when the government do commit to what they committed to in this year's programme for government, which is providing products to those in educational settings, I would absolutely love, and I think there's no reason why they shouldn't provide plastic-free products, because, you know, let's face it, before COVID, you know, the biggest thing we were all talking about and still should be talking about is our climate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I just think that's really, really hugely important. And I think, you know, we have an opportunity to tackle, you know, one part of the single-use plastic issue by doing this. And I think it would be absolutely fantastic. I mean, I live near a beach, and you will inevitably, every time you go there, see, you know, a tampon applicator. And it drives me nuts.
And also as well, you remember when the tampon ad was banned here, was it? I've lost sense of time. So I think, was it last
couple of years ago, maybe?
I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe
where
it was last year.
What year it is. Maybe it was last year. Yeah, it was last year, I think. 2020, I think. Everything bad happened. But, you know, everyone was up in arms about the ad and blah, blah, blah. But nobody was raising the issue of, like, what annoyed me most about it was this big plastic thing, big blue applicator being waved across in the middle of it. No one was annoyed about that. And that just drives me absolutely mad. There's just no need for it. So, yeah, no, I absolutely think that it would be wonderful to see our government do that. They've done it in Wales, actually, where they've committed to providing free period products, and 50% of them are sustainable.
Oh, all right. That's super. That's great. Yeah. I suppose it's a health issue as well, isn't it? Because like a lot of the disposable period products still have a lot of stuff in them that you just shouldn't have inside your body. Like it's
just shouldn't have inside your body. You know, there's whole areas of regulation, you know, and I think sometimes as well that someone can think they're saving the planet by buying a menstrual cup online and God knows what you're getting. So I think, you need to have like proper again, education, but proper discussions about, you know, products, what's in them, ingredients. We just need full transparency on all of this, I think.
Mm. So if you could dream big, what would you like to see change? I know there are a lot of different issues, but between education, poverty, what would you like Ireland to look like for it to be a better place for people who menstruate?
Personally, I don't want homeless period Ireland to exist. It shouldn't. I'm trying my hardest and to make sure that I don't have to take products from the public because it really doesn't sit well with me. I mean, it's fantastic and it's great, but it's not right. I think this is a small fix. It's a non-contentious issue. So I think, you know, it's time for the government to step up on it. So, you know, I think the product side of it is one thing, and that's kind of fairly fixable. I mean, there are always people who will miss out, but I think if we have open and proper discussions about how we can manage this, I think we can do our best on it. I think what's really, really hugely important is education. And that's something I'm looking at the moment. Something I think that drives me a bit nuts is, you know, there's a lot of platforms at the moment that are dishing out information on periods. And I think, you know, that's great if it's coming from someone who's qualified to speak about them. I'm not qualified to speak about periods, so I don't, you know, if anyone asks me about endometriosis, anything like that, not my area. So I think, you know, it's a responsibility on people to be very careful about information that's going up online. So I do think something needs to be centralised. You know, I'd love to see a proper... Well, obviously, we need proper sex education in our schools for starters, but also I think separately we do need period education, absolutely, for boys and girls.
I was just going to say, because you hear a lot about like one session for girls and the boys are sent out, which is just a bit bonkers.
I see. I don't know. I'm on the fence about that one, right? Because I think, you know, you want girls to be comfortable. You know, and maybe, you know, again, I'm bringing it back to my own kids who are in a mixed national school. And, you know, they've grown up with boys. Their boys mean nothing to them. You know, it's just all very normal. But I'm kind of, you see, here's where I'm thinking. I'm kind of thinking if it's coming down to a discussion about their body and changes that may happen then, I think they need to be in a bit of a space where they feel they can ask questions. Yeah. And will they if boys are in the class?
That's a good point.
Kind of just my... So I don't know.
Maybe you need both. Maybe you need that session first to ask those questions and then a more kind of just wider information session where, you know, because these things should not be taboo.
No, not at all.
You know,
not at all.
For a boy to think that it's odd that somebody's bleeding or disgusting or icky, you know.
Yeah.
Would you say, speaking of taboos, would you say that there is still a lot of stigma in Ireland around bleeding?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly getting a bit better. I mean, there are a lot of conversations happening at the moment, which is terrific. But yeah, no, there absolutely is. I mean, we're all guilty of it. We all put the tampons up the sleeves or, you know, it's all, have you got a tampon? You know, it's still all very like that. And I mean, I also think that's kind of fine too. We don't all have to shout and scream about our periods, you know, and it is bringing it back to the equity and the dignity. You know, it is private. It's something that's happening in all of our bodies. You know, you don't have to be seen to be screaming and shouting about it. But at the same time, I think there is an element of that bringing it down. But I mean, it just does come down to a basic, put them in the toilets,
you know, that just break, you know, this whole thing of not having them, I think, causes more of a barrier and stigma than anything else. And it's really not a big deal. Just put them in the toilets.
That was Claire Hunt on Bits of Me. You can follow Homeless Period Ireland on Instagram at Homeless Period Ireland, and I'll link their Twitter profile and Facebook page as well in the show notes. If you want to follow Bits of Me, we're on Instagram and Twitter, and there's of course the Patreon page at patreon.com/bitsofme. Thanks for listening.